All right. Well, God bless you all. And once again, what a privilege and blessing it is for Vicki and I to host this wonderful time of fellowship with people that we've really grown to love and admire and respect. And just thank you all so much for everything that you do and have done and will do. Tonight, as I mentioned a moment ago, I'm going to be teaching on a subject I've entitled The Four D's. That's D like desire, or D like dog, but it's the four D's. I'd like you to take your Bible, please. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. You know, the life and ministry of Jesus Christ tells quite a story. It's fortunate that there have been those who recorded and wrote information about the life of Jesus Christ. And we're not going to read all of chapter 5, but I did want to set a little bit of a context here. In verse 5, well, they're coming out of that situation where Jesus is speaking to the sea. And in verse 39 of chapter 4, it says, "And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind," what? "Ceased, and there was a great calm." I mean, it must have gone from like really rocking waves. And then it says there was a great calm. So to me, that indicates there's quite a dramatic difference. "And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" Verse 41, "And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" And we pick up the record in Mark 5, verse 1. And kind of contextually, this is in that same time frame, that same time period. It says, "And they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship immediately," what does that mean, immediately? It means immediately. The moment he put his foot on the shore, there met him a man out of the tombs, and a man who had an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him. I love these King James words. And the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones." Now, this isn't somebody you probably want to be buddy-buddy, you know, "Hey, let's go up to the mountain and into the tomb area. Let's have a little chat with this gentleman." Well, you know, what's interesting in this situation, it goes on in that next verse, it says, "But when he saw Jesus afar off," Jesus? No, the man with the spirit, the demon spirit, "he ran and he worshipped him. And he cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." And in verse 8, this is kind of the deliverance part of this record. "For he said unto him, Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And then he has a bit of a conversation and, you know, some different things go on. But this guy got completely delivered. And to the point that this fella, it says in verse 15, "They came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed. And they were he was in his right mind, and they were afraid." They were afraid. Oh my gosh, this is really quite a record. So, but let's pick it up at 19. "Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not." This is the man who's been delivered. He now wants to go with Jesus and be with him. "Go home to thy friends. Tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath great compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel." Well, What did he do? He went out and told a story. He went out and gave a testimony. And if these people knew this gentleman beforehand and now were witnessing and seeing the type of mindset that he was in, it's no wonder in verse 20 it says, all men did marvel. And it says, when Jesus passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was close to the sea. And at that point in time, it says, behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. I pray, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. In verse 25, and this is the heart of what I really want to get into and share tonight, it says, a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but she grew worse. This is quite a record. This is quite a testimony. And maybe you ladies would appreciate this more so than even some of us gentlemen, having gone through, you know, a period of time or maybe still in that time where you have menstrual cycles. And I read something today that said, theoretically, the amount of bleeding that was taking place with this lady, and she'd been dealing with this for 12 years, it was an excessive amount of vaginal bleeding that she was experiencing. And so I'm sure she was very, very weary of the things that she had to do, because having an issue of blood in that culture meant that you were unclean. Anybody who touched you was unclean. Anybody who came in contact with the clothing that you wore was unclean. And so this was a very ritualistic, traditional culture in that area. And so she suffered many things, many physicians. She spent everything, and nothing got better. But what? It grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, because she had heard of Jesus, people were speaking about his preaching, his teaching, the miracles, the healings. She thought, this is my chance to touch and be a part of the great miracle worker, the Lord Jesus. And when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Verse 29, straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing himself that virtue, dunamis, had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples are looking at him cross-eyed, saying, thou seest a multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. And so I wanted to look a little bit closer, a little bit more in detail to this record. And that's why I'm entitling this sharing the four D's. I feel like the first thing that this woman did is she made a decision. This is the place where free will and choice meet. She exercised her free will when she realized there was a choice to even be had. And she heard of Jesus, verse 27, and came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. You know what she did? She made a decision out of her own free will. Hey, maybe she felt very desperate, like, hey, this is the only opportunity I may have. Other people are saying it works. I'm going to go for it. And so number two, she expressed a great desire. She had this burning internal passion to pursue the Lord Jesus Christ, even though she knew she was unclean, even though she knew she was outcast, probably even from her family. But she made the decision, and then this great desire, this great motivating force within her heart, she came in the press, verse 27, behind him and did what? Touched his garment. And so, first of all, she made the decision where free will and choice meet. Then she had this great desire, this burning internal passion to really pursue it. And then it became, I mean, this is all happening very rapidly, but then the detail of how to accomplish this particular thing that she was trying to do, I mean, in the details of it, she heard of Jesus. She came in the press behind him and touched his garment, and she said, if I may touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. And guess what? Deliverance. So first of all, she made the deliverance. She made the decision where free will and choice meet. And then she manifested this internal passion to pursue. And then the details of how this thing played out was the how to move forward, specifically with purpose. And at the end of it, she received her deliverance. What is that? The encouraging and the miraculous result or fruit that comes as a result of these four things, really these three things. But first of all, she made a decision. She made a decision, she said, if I must can touch the hem of his garment. So that's what? Decision, desire, details, deliverance. Those are the four D's. Make the decision. That desire burns within our heart to take some type of action. And as we begin to take that action, the details, how to move forward specifically, will then come into fruition. And then we see the corresponding results, the encouraging results. This is such a great testimony. I mean, we aren't doing this outside the context of working in partnership with God. But what I thought about in these four categories is something that I love to repeat, and many of you have heard me say it. When you make a decision, you know what you're saying? I am what the Word of God says I am. And when you build that great desire within you, I can be what the Word of God says I can be. And in those details, what is that? I will be what the Word of God says I will be. In your deliverance, I have what the Word of God says I have. I tell you, anything we pursue and take on in life always starts with a decision. You want to go to the gym tomorrow? You're going to have to make a decision to get up, get dressed, go to the gym and do whatever you're going to do there. We've been talking about exercising our spiritual authority. How about these four things? Decision, desire, details, deliverance. Very, very, very powerful. And it's written right here in the Word of God. So we can be confident that when we make a decision about pursuing something, that then we'll have that inner heart's conviction to follow through on what that decision is, and then have the specifics of how to get there, and then the end result. And you know what? If we falter in the middle of all that, then you know what? We pick ourselves back up again. We get in the game. We recommit ourselves. And we keep moving forward. Because like Paul said in Philippians 3:13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press towards the mark for the prize to the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know what? That can be a daily decision we have to make. See? And then as we make these conscious, godly decisions, great desire builds within us to accomplish and do the Father's will. And he's going to show us how to do that. We're not in this alone, like I have to figure it out on my own. And then deliverance, not only that we receive, but deliverance that we are bringing to a world that is in such great need of seeing a multitude of things to occur in a very, very positive and needful way. So I pray that this has been a blessing for you to get in here into the, a little bit here tonight. The four D's: decision, desire, details, deliverance. Heavenly Father, thank you that this Word of God is so living and real. It's our food, it's our water, it's the thing that gives us sustenance, Father, and that we can operate our free will. We can make choices that are in alignment with the truth of what your Word says. And we can have that great desire, Father, and you will show us how to move forward so that we can not only receive deliverance ourselves, but we can bring deliverance and open the eyes of those who need it and turn their hearts, and in helping to turn their hearts. So we pray, Father, that these messages that we share and teach on these calls are life-changing. They're life-altering. And that we just have the opportunity to do so and can really do our best to keep it simple, Father. The truth we know is simple. And I pray in the powerful and wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.